What up, world?
Blessings and salutations.
So we trying to get this done because the madness.
Y'all just snorted. Sorry.
You did. It echoes the madness of what's happening in this league right now, and it's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday.
Hold on to your butt cheeks, y'all. Some of your eyes.
I've been kind of awake. I think I only got 3 hours of sleep last night, dude.
Oh, I slept through that game, so.
I didn't sleep through.
I did rewatch it, though.
But we are going to talk about it.
Wait a minute. Touch on it.
Wait, okay. We got to introduce ourselves. Excuse me. Hello, yes. I am Sky from the ATL, where the players dwell, where I am now living well in the Southern California beach dwells. Because you know I'm the best, and I now live in the wild, wild west, and I'm with you.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Sylves, VA, all day, two up, two down, now chilling in the northwest, and I would just like to state, for the record, I will go wherever Sarah Gordon goes. All right, so...
Hold it down. Simmer it down. Hold on.
We'll talk about it later.
Who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer and football and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
So what were we talking about this week?
So this week, we're going to talk about the two friendlies between the United States and Australia that took place in Australia.
Oh, and then we're going to give you our SBFC, the Shea Butter FC, superlatives.
We are. For the year. Yes.
For the NWSL.
For the NWSL. And then we're going to kick off, this is timely, SBFC Pimp Your Squad segment.
Well, should it be like Pimp My Squad?
I don't want to say the rest of that phrase. Sorry.
And then, as always, we give you our hits and riffs and rants of the week. And then, yeah, we're going succinct.
Yeah, we're going to make it.
And raves of the week.
We're going to keep everything succinct because next week's going to be a doozy. So,
yes.
And we gave y'all a lot last week. So we're trying to, you know, tease you a little bit here. So with that in mind, let's jump into these games. So like we said, the United States women's national team played Australia in Australia twice, once on Friday for the West Coast. It was 8:00. At night, and then it was 4:00 in the morning for the East Coast on Tuesday morning, 1:00 for us. And they took a bunch of new players or players that hadn't been called up in a very long time. And it's been jokingly called Becky and the Kids because there's only two players 30 or over on this squad. So let's get into it. The first game, like we said, Friday, 8:00 West Coast time, was a 3-0 victory by the United States, kicked off by one of the fastest goals in U.S. team history, but not the fastest, surprisingly, by Ashley Hatch. Was it 24 seconds in?
Something like that.
Off of an assist from who?
Lynn Renee Williams,
who is finally reunited with her dude, Marley.
Yeah.
In Australia and played like she is quite happy.
Yes, right.
We love to see that for her.
Zoom in.
So that lineup included, for Shea Butter reference, Lynn Williams and Midge Purse on the wings up top. Mm-hmm. It also included my defender, Alana Cook, on the back line. So
right, she can't be my defender too.
I mean, you can refer, well, right? That's fine.
I'll do that.
I mean, all the time. Oh, please. All right. We were still deployed in a 4-3-3. Your midfielders were Lindsay Horan, Andrew Sullivan, Rose Lavelle. Like we said, Ashley Hatch was the 9. And then your back line was Emily Sonnet, Alana Cook.
Yes.
Tierna Davidson and Emily Fox, right?
That is correct.
Okay. For a start. So we still, one day, we'll be free of 4-3-3 only, but we deployed the 4-3-3 with Lynn and Mitch switching sides at their own.
When they wanted to.
When they made decisions, because they can do that, because they're very good. We did team defense. We pressed some, yes, as is the case with a team that hasn't played together a lot. It's a lot of vibes. A lot of vibes.
I mean, it was vibing when it had to be vibed.
Well.
So it was okay, my bad. So there were vibes and then it was defense. So yeah, it was a vibe until it ran into the wall.
Yeah.
And then it was a, we are happy to run up and down the field the whole game.
Yeah, it was. And it was a lot of, you know, fast pace, a lot of transition. Yes. We did not do a possession. We did not play possession based football.
Not at all.
In part because that team is young, and two, they don't play together. And three, the best way to work through that is to play a lot of direct and transition football. And we have the players for that, right? We have speed. We have skill on the ball. Yes. We have outside backs that can run up and join the attack. More on that in a minute. So, yeah, I mean, it fits our style. And also, Casey Murphy had her first cap in the first match. And hello. Casey Murphy.
Hello,
Casey. I mean, she was always this, but, like, my Lord.
Well, no, don't get it twisted. You being disrespectful. Casey Murphy been motherfucking balling.
That's what I'm saying. She's always
everybody been this. She said, like we had pointed out previously. I know I definitely pointed out. I was like, Casey Murphy was an MVP for the North Carolina underdog courage situation. Mm-hmm. And she was having to defend because the 4-2-2 situation was a hot mess. So she had to like do great feats. And that showed up in Australia.
She's also tall. Like that helps a lot.
Yes.
She's close
blocking
to 6 feet.
All kinds of things. Yeah, she's shutting it down. She's the wall.
She's
nothing.
I imagine Casey Murphy will be one of our three goalkeepers for in the near future. And honestly, probably has a shot at the one spot if she wants it.
Yes.
But yeah, I think y'all can figure out who's behind her at this point. But yeah, she should be called up for a very long time.
Yes.
As long as she's healthy. So
yep.
Anyway, we say that to say that zero had a lot to do with Casey Murphy being great. I would also like to point out that I'm pretty sure when Alana Cook emptied her pockets that night, Sam Kerr fell out.
Yeah.
Just emptying
pockets.
Shut it down.
Also, I mean, Emily Fox could have shook our pockets too.
At one point.
We'll get
into Emily Fox. We're going to get into Emily Fox in a bit.
Yeah, you definitely, Alana Cook was like, just shutting this, like, shutting that all the way down.
She's very good.
Just shut down everybody. Like, it was like, hell to the no.
The homie Courtney and I were talking about that. We still get sad that old boy from PSG wouldn't play her in the second leg against Barcelona. Still upset about it.
I'm not upset about it. Look at Barcelona flourishing as a result.
I mean, very true. But, like, if you just make one decision differently. Yeah. I'm not saying they win, but I think it's a hell of a lot closer.
Okay.
I'm just
let's bring it back. We've been emotional.
So anyway, yes, they went in. It was 1-0. Or did they score right before the half? Yeah. Okay. We went into halftime 1-0. Australia had some really good chances, including Simon missed a sitter.
Yes.
A sitter.
It's not even a sitter. It should have been you could have She just had to tap that shit.
She just hung her head. Like, she collapsed and hung her head, I think.
Tony, did he lay out on the ground?
Did he just pass out? Tony's very funny, by the way.
He was changing shirts the whole
time. Tony Gustafson is the coach of Australia, but he used to be an assistant for the United States Women's National Team. Probably was in consideration for the job.
Probably should have got it, but we won't go there.
He's a very good coach, and he's doing really good work with Australia. They are, too, a very young team, particularly on their defensive end, and it showed in part.
Ooh, they got cooked.
The man knows what he's doing, so I fully expect Australia to be in peak form by the time they host the World Cup. Anyway, we went into the half down or up one. We did not sub anyone out right away, even though we're pretty sure Rose LaBelle died in the first half, but that's fine.
Yes. Yeah, she totally got hit upside the head.
It's not fine.
It was a concussion.
And there were no concussion substitutes available for friendlies. Granted, you could have still taken Rose out, but to be fair, normally they're substitutes and there weren't any available this time. So we come back out in the second half with the same players. And do you want to break down the Sophia to Midge to Rose sequence?
I mean, you just break it down because I haven't seen that game in a second.
And so, I mean, I'm going off of memory on a Friday night after Turkey Day and being in a food coma. But I believe Sophia heads it, like wins it off yes. of a header, header gets yeah. it to Midge Purse, absolutely wrecks. Who was defending her?
I don't know.
But she just bodied that human off of her. And gets the ball close to the touchline. She gets it, you know, well into the box on the yeah. on the right hand. She's on the right at this point and picks out Rose for a beautiful pass. And all Rose really has to do is get a touch to it and place it.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's Rose LaBelle. She's capable of that. And so that's our second goal. Just a beautiful team goal. And then...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Midge body, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
Thank you to Diaspora United for that. Piece of technology. Somebody laid body yaddy yaddy over Midge's run for the assist.
Yeah, that. Midge definitely like laid her.
Oh yeah,
like laid her out. Yeah, I mean she was like that. You ain't gonna throw me on the ground.
Midge did that several times in both games. Yes. She's very, very hard. Hard to get off the ball.
We're gonna talk about when she did that again yeah. in the next game.
Yeah, but we are. Because
I will say when she did shoot that back, I was like, yeah, let's go. Y'all better run to the end of that because Lynn and Midge have been. Like that back and forth even in the first half also
yeah so that happened and then the third goal came on a penalty on Horan. I thought it was a bit harsh. She got her, like it was a pin, but it was harsh. I would argue the one from the second game was far more egregious that they didn't call, but and then Lindsay Horan also took the penalty and converted it. And that put us up 3-0. Again, Australia had a slew of chances. They came in waves, like particularly mm-hmm. towards the end of halves, Australia tends to gain steam. I think they just kind of go for it and kind of abandon defensive yeah. principles. But they weren't able to put it in the goal because again, Casey Murphy exists.
But the defense, like don't get it twisted. Yeah. Yes, the defense was vibey through the field, but it's more so a midfield issue, but I'm not going to go there yet.
Yeah, and we got to talk about that 5-4-1.
Wait. But the not even then. That's a whole other game. But even in this game, because of the midfield issues, that more so caused your defensive issues. Because, for example, like a Lindsay Horan was not midfielding when she needed the midfield. So if they had set up a press and everybody else was in position, she wasn't in position where she needed to be. Or Solomon was having to drop out. So it was making us spacing. So that was causing a lot of stuff, a lot of transition for Australia's side when they had decided they were going to try to attempt to score. But you did have everybody had the speed to actually drop back and defend. So that's how you had Emily Fox,
right?
Alana Cook, and Tierna Davis able to like shut down stuff effectively.
That triangular defense in the middle, right? So Tierna, like you said, Alana and Andy cover. A lot. We're pretty sound centrally in that part of it. I think there's a few things. I think one, what Horan is what she is, right? I think the game has changed on her. I don't necessarily think it's a matter of like, oh, you know, she's less, more or less talented. I do think though, the game we have to play to stay on top requires a bit more discipline and staying out of, like, not running sort of with abandon into spaces. And I would say the same thing about Emily Fox to an extent too, right? Like, and those are players who thrive on that, but I think you have to be able to find the balance. Yeah. Two, is she an attacking midfielder or not? Because I think that's the other thing we've got to figure out. Like, she lives in the in-between. And I think because she's had that freedom, the discipline is a bit hard. Whereas like if a Sam Mewis is there, she's very much going to stay within a role, right? It's why I think she would have made a better six personally. But, and you have Andy Sullivan there now, so you don't really need a six. Like you do have more room to go forward. And I know Vlacko's talked about trying to give particularly Rose and Lindsay sort of that freedom. But Rose actually plays, like Rose is a good defender though. Like,
right.
I think, because of her size, people don't give her credit. I'm like, Rose is a pretty damn good defender.
Yeah, she shuts out.
And she's cheeky. She gets the ball off people really cheeky ways. But she's never going to body you per se. But
the case with the issue with Lindsay though is because she's living in this in between. The bigger issue is because when the time comes that she needs to then remember her role, particularly if they're playing a 4-3-3, in her area of the midfield she is supposed to be covering. Mm-hmm. If she would come to realization she has to be a midfielder in that moment, then everything will be fine, because that is the issue and has been the issue not only for country but also for club. That because she does not maintain her spacing, because midfield spacing, as I've said a bajillion times before, is super important for you to be able to keep your little shape for whatever the hell you want to do. Because she's not there. There were multiple times during the game I was like, Lindsey Horan, just stay in your freaking space. So you're not one in like clogging in the lane of somebody else. But even particularly when they are literally organizing the press, there were some beautiful moments that if she just stayed in her freaking space, she would have got the ball and could have scored herself, or she could have passed it off to somebody. But because she wasn't there, it triggered Australia's attack the other way.
I think there was some of that in the second game too. That one's a lot fresher in my mind, because full disclosure, I slept through the second game, so I watched it later today, or earlier today, I should say. I think there has to be a genuine analysis of like how we're going to play going forward with this new talent coming in, and some of those younger players, or different players I should say, occupying space. Because I would still argue, I think if you're going to bring Horan out wide, you've got to put her with speedy people behind her and in front of her, so she can't physically take their space, right? Because they're fast enough. Right. If you're going to play her centrally, you got to make a decision, because you cannot play Horan and Makari at the same time.
Okay, so you can't do it until Katerina Makari, and it would have been nice to see her play, but
that would have been nice. Friend.
You can't, until Katerina is like, you do not go in my space.
Yeah.
Until that time comes, similar to with Sophia Smith, she don't do it with Sophia Smith either. Until she gets to that point with Katerina, they can't play together, because then Lindsey is running in her space. Same thing if Morgan Reaver appears on the roster. Until the younger players get a, please don't be coming in my space like that. Like with Kristen Press, you don't have.
She doesn't do that. Yeah. But
even with Crystal Dunn,
you don't have that
dropping into her area like that. They exist, whatever. So you have to check Lindsey to be like, you need a midfield.
Or hear me out, you could just make her a nine.
Well, that too.
That's kind of what she wants to do, right? Like, I think she'd be far more inclined to be a nine. You could even mess around and make her a false nine and just rotate her a cat. That's me.
Right.
And they bring very different skill sets, right?
Right.
I personally would start cat, but that's me. But I actually think that's a better spot for her at this point in terms of the evolution of the team, because she wants to score. Like,
right.
Yeah, she'll pass it, but like Lindsey Horan wants to score, so let her.
Because it's similar to like that Mexico game where she did play as one of the nines.
Yeah,
you know, they're flourishing, and so she was rolling like a bowling pin centrally that you could allow your speedy wingers to come invading in the space between.
I think that also solves a lot of your midfield issues, because if you move her up, then your midfielders are essentially that we know, right? Are Sam, Crystal.
Yes.
Because I think with Emily Fox's emergence, Vlacko. Listen to me, Vlacko. Listen to me.
Vlacko Adanoski. Are you listening?
Yo, I don't speak Macedonian or North Macedonian, but if I did, I would hit you with that. But bruh, there's no reason Crystal Dunn, when she comes back, should be playing left back ever.
Not
again.
At all. Ever.
Not even in a bind. Find somebody else.
Right.
You got to. Crystal Dunn should be in the midfield, preferably middle.
Can Sophia Huerta even play left back too?
I think she prefers the right.
But she needs to in the bind.
In a bind, we got plenty of people to play.
But there's no need.
Crystal Dunn needs to be
in the motherfucking midfield.
There's never another reason to play Crystal Dunn at left back. Kill that.
At all.
Noise.
Stop it.
Please stop.
None.
Let actual left backs play left back, please.
Right.
And I think also Crystal Dunn, the midfield solves a lot of your problems.
Yes. Yeah. It stabilizes your midfield.
It stabilizes a lot, and she can pull the trigger and she can defend. And
yes,
she's just an all around player. If you're going to take utility players and they can play everywhere, then let them play somewhere else. I think that is a revelation. I think attack is going to be interesting, because the truth is we can't take everybody. Mm-hmm. So the battle for who's rotating out of that front line in 2023 is going to be real interesting. I'm really interested to see February and April games. I don't know who we're playing yet, but I'm really interested to see January camp and then those February and April windows. Because those seem to be the last like really hardcore things before the qualifiers. I think there's a May or June window too, but we'll be rounding into shape by then to qualify for the World Cup. So yeah, I think for a young squad that hasn't played together much, I thought they had a really good showing. It definitely looked like a squad that didn't play together. But yeah, I mean, Mitch Purse looks the same as Mitch Purse looks in the league, which that's always been the case. So I don't know why it's been complicated.
Like, this shouldn't have been complicated. She was up there cooking people left and right, just bodying people.
I will say, though, while I absolutely think Ashley Hatch is a poacher, though she can shoot. We saw that this year.
Yes.
Boy, does it matter when you're 9 can run for pace.
Woo! I was wondering when we were going to say that.
Doesn't it look different when the 9
can run? Yeah, it looks very, it's like, I was like, I was like, well, goddamn, this game is just fine.
Lynn Williams can pass when somebody can run on. Okay.
Right. I was like, okay. What it looks like when a 9 can go fast as shit, like
it's a blessing.
It, like your wings aren't having to slow down; they're able to speed up and down the field. Like what? Beautiful, right. beautiful. And then what even happens? Because Ashley Hatch was able to keep up, and then later Bethany Balser, Morgan Weaver, all of them were able to keep up. You then had midfielders able to drift in too and invade too. If something got missed, like Australia was going through it. Australia
was just a bunch of wingers and nines that just kept coming at them, and they were just like,
what is going on?
What am I supposed to do? And you can't body everybody. Like, again, it'd be one thing if you could body Mitch Purse off the ball, but that didn't work.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Like, Mitch Purse is like, oh, okay, thank you for the contact. I'm gonna keep going. Like, so again, the finishing will come. I always think the finishing is sort of the last thing, but
yeah, it's the last thing.
And we didn't even bring everybody. We didn't even bring everybody. Everybody's not back yet. Like, Chris and Press is fine, y'all. Y'all need to chill out with that.
Right.
Calm down.
If she looked good, if she looked good without a team for the Olympics and was the best for it without question, she'll be fine.
With all that speed? Oh.
Yeah, and then you actually got her disciplined and her vision. And how she sets up people with that youth.
She was out here as the assist leader on the old version of this team. Right. Sorry.
Just imagine this. Just balls just flying left and right.
So many Shea Butter
dogs. Even when we talk about, Well, even when we talk about Lynn and Midge playing with Kristen and how she was linking up with them. Like, she was all the way in the back, literally in that Nigeria game, literally motion for her to get, for them to send her the ball.
Yeah.
And she kicked it.
And she won't have to drop that far back to get the ball. It's going to be a lot of rotating attackers, which is what you want. Like,
yeah,
we're just basically going to send 3 frontline waves at teams, and you don't know which 3 it's going to be.
You just got to pray.
And it's going to be madness. Like, and it doesn't matter. It probably won't matter. Right?
It won't matter.
Like, I imagine we'll carry 7 strikers. We might mess around and carry 8. We'll see.
Particularly if they can drop
right, midfield. Like you, and you have a few of those players. So I think it'll be very interesting in the next couple of years. But I think it's very, very exciting. We have one of the best young pools of talent in the world. And I think it's just a matter of seeing if we can get it together in time.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, the second game, like we said, took place very early in the morning today, Tuesday, last day of November, and the scoreline ended up being 1-1. Once again, the United States struck early. This harkens back to the World Cup run. They scored in the 4th minute, this time off of an assist from Mitch Purse.
Yes.
So Mitch Purse had an assist in both games.
Oh.
Shocking. Good? Yeah, Mitch Purse might be good. She might be good.
Just a little bit.
Again, Ashley Hatch is the beneficiary. And again, it is Mitch Purse running to the touchline that passes wide open. She could pick it out. It's a really good finish by Ashley Hatch. And we had a couple.
Ashley and Midge could have scored sooner because
Lynn
Williams was burning that bitch down.
Ooh, yeah.
She had a little poof ball. And I was like,
who's that? She had the hair straight? I was like, okay.
Yeah. She was lighting it up. I was like, who is it? Oh, that's Lynn up here.
She's so really straight into her hair. It took me a second.
Yeah, it was. Like, yeah, she was lit. Yeah, she had a little, she didn't have the bun up. She had it like
living in the back. Best life showing in her play.
Yeah,
but yeah, they, and honestly, the United States could have scored a couple more. that half. Yes, and Australia probably could have scored one or two themselves, but again, Casey Murphy is there. And then let me see. Second half, Sophia Orts had a couple.
Whoa, we gotta go back to the beginning, because okay. In the beginning of this game in particular, because they started out with Sophia Huerta, Emily Fox.
Ooh, that was, yeah, that's nice.
Alana Cook, Tierna Davison.
Davison, yeah.
So that was actually, they had a lid on Australia. So don't let this, if you didn't watch this game in the beginning, like if you didn't watch this game early morning live, or you haven't watched it yet, like don't let this scoreline fool you. They were like, so the issues of possessions like stopped. Like, U.S. was like,
yeah, they had more possession in the second game, right? They clearly focused on some things that they could correct in the very short turnaround time that they had. I thought they were better on defense. I think the defense in the midfield beyond Sullivan is still there. I thought Sullivan had a really good defensive game.
Yes.
I thought a lot of passes were off. I think not just hers. There was a lot of wrong side passes is what I call them, right? Like when you're intent, if you hit them just on the other side of their body, they probably take the ball and go, you know, on your from your forward line. I think in a really distinct one where like Lindsay hit Lynn on her left instead of her right, and she just hit her on her right. She had to step. But it seemed like fatigue, right? Like it seemed like it was Australia. They were tired. They had traveled. They didn't get a lot of time to train together. And so it seemed like fatigue, and it started to show in the defense, but I did like that he started where to end.
But that's what I'm saying. The defense for most of the game was fine. You saw real chinks though in
yeah.
game more on and when they sub people.
Like, yeah, and like, those were interesting subs.
But I'm saying when they had the defense in, particularly in the first half, like Australia was trying.
They did for like the first 30. Australia had some real pressure from like the 30th minute through like the 40th.
But even in the front part, it was like they kind of were like, wait a minute, so this is going to continue going. But what I liked in the 30 minutes in the beginning. So this is what the defense can look like if you just put like for real capable defenders who want to play defense.
I still think there's some things, right? Like,
yes,
there was definitely moments like Tierna had to make this ridiculous recovery tackle in the box, which is perfect. She's very good at that. Emily Fox made some really good recovery runs and a couple of good recovery tackles. And I guess we can quickly touch on Emily Fox. Like, her upside is just really high. There's definitely a balance, like I said, for her to find. She really likes to move into open spaces off the ball, even with the ball. So she's got to find that line as a defender between being disciplined and knowing when to go forward. And I think that just comes with playing more. I think another year in the pros, she'll get it. But man, her runs for it are woo. Yeah. And she can defend. Like, she's a good defender. I actually think that trial by fire against France in 2019 probably helps her in the long run. That was brutal for her, though. But yeah, I think she'll only get better. And I think she's her left back, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she's her starting left back. And it'll come. I think by the time the World Cup gets here, she'll be fine. I mean, I think Sophia Huerta's got a case.
So what I like with her, even in the midst of fatigue, she was like, you know, shutting down as she could players and getting the ball off. And honestly, she wasn't as much as a liability as a certain Emily Sonnet, who should not be playing for the body on national team.
Again, my pushback against her selection is always, if you're not going to play her as center back where she is best suited to play,
then don't bring her anymore.
Then don't bring her, because she's not an outside back. And it's pretty obvious every time she plays. Like, and I don't think that's fair to her. And I don't think that's fair to other people who could be playing outside back.
Yeah, it's a noticeable drop off. Like, you could tell the drop off when she came into the game. Like
in my mind, I'm like, I get it. She's experienced, but all that experience has not made her a better outside back. And if I'm Caprice Didasco, defender of the year sitting at home, I have additional questions, right? Like, so.
Even in the first game, we can talk about it, but they were sending people down her side.
Yes. Eventually.
And so when they couldn't go down Emily Fox's side, they were sending it down her side and right. trying to do inundate and overload because she was the weaker link. And I'm like, you didn't have that happen with Sofia Huerta because no. that was getting shut down. And then, you know, it was evenly distributed. When you right. have that noticeable drop off, you got to go, you got to be real with yourself and be like, okay.
Yeah. And so
we
I
have beautiful bowels, but we got to.
Yeah. Gotta and one. Vlacko did a couple of large scale subs. He moved Rose to the front line, which I'm like, why yeah. are we doing that? to put Christy Mewis in the midfield, which is fine. And again, Christy Mewis definitely got fouled in the penalty box, but that's neither here nor there. Bless Ellie Carpenter. She took a wrong step on that one. Yes. Very good defender, but that was a wrong step. And bought in different defenders. So he bought in Becky and he yes. bought in Imani Dorsey and he bought in
Emily Fox.
Emily, he took off Emily Fox from Imani Dorsey. He bought in Morgan Weaver. He bought in Ashley Sanchez.
Yes.
I think so. Emily Sonnet. And bought in Sonnet. That's it. All of that to say, Australia was pushing. Oh, he took Andy Sullivan out. That was the other thing.
Yes.
And so the def and changed the defensive shape.
Yes.
Changed to a defensive formation is what we're going to call it, which is a 5-4-1. Now we deployed this in 2019 at the end of games.
But why?
To win the World Cup, to hunker down on defense, whatever. So this is clearly something we do. I would not have done it.
No, not at all.
And it was a funky deflection. Like, I don't think that happens again if you shoot that ball 10 times.
Well, it was wild as we did this against Australia. And we tried to do this foolishness against Australia in the...
it came back.
In the bronze medal game. They almost came back and beat us.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are you doing? Like, have we not...
I don't know if that's our best defensive shape. I get, you know, preserving energy, things like that. And we can practice it more, but I feel like there's better ways to defend at the end.
Right.
Of the day. That's just
me. Defend. Just
actually. Yeah, just defend. But having said that, in the 88th minute, Simon,
yep.
right, who missed the sitter in the first game, shoots the ball from just outside the box. It takes a weird, funky deflection off Becky Sovereign's like thigh or hip or something. And Casey Murphy can't get to it because it hits the ground and then bounces oddly. Back right. in towards the goalpost.
Yeah.
And so they draw 1-1. The game ends on a 1-1 draw, which it's a win and a draw for a very young team. So mm-hmm. I think in front of an away crowd, right? Like there's 30 something thousand people in Australia to watch this game, which is a big deal both for that, the Australia team, for the sport, and for these young players. So I don't think they have anything to hang their heads about. I think there's definitely a lot of tape. You can go back and watch and learn some things. I think there are times when young players seemed very young, or I say inexperienced players, because I don't think age is a end all be all. And there's definitely things to learn. I don't think it's make or break for anybody. I think everybody will get to come back to January camp, or most people get to come back to January camp. But there's going to be some new faces and some old faces there as well. And it's going to get real in February. Like that's when competition starts. And so, but we have a year. We have a year. We don't have a major tournament. We have qualifying. Mm-hmm. But we're not we're not in the Euros or anything like that. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm interested to see what like the next 6 months look like. But I thought it was a good showing from a young squad. And so we promised to try to be concise. We're gonna go do that. So moving on, as promised last week, we're here to give you our shea butter.
Wait.
Okay.
In a minute, as we about to drop the beat. Now.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I forgot we were going back to that. So Sky and I have both compiled our end of year list. We do have a few in common simply because player of the year.
Whoa! It's the Shea Butter FC. Okay. Superlatives of the year.
End of year.
From the end of its L.
End of season. End of season, end of year,
however
you want to do it.
End of season.
Okay, I'll go first because I just happen to be first on the sheet. So this is all of our categories that we've touched on throughout the year. So they hopefully sound familiar to you. But here we go. So for my Shea Butter Bomb, I have the Mitch Purse goal against Kansas City toward the end of the season. I thought that was a beautiful ball. It's a beautiful goal, lead up everything, but beautiful execution by Mitch. Shea Butter Boom, that Darian Jenkins goal. Y'all know the one I'm talking about. With the crazy ankle, that one. Shea Butter hat trick. Yeah, Gotham. Gotham FC against Lorraine.
When they kicked y'all up.
Yeah.
Wasn't it sexy? It was sexy.
Yeah, it hurt a little bit, but at least it was Gotham. Shea Butter Dime, I have a tie. I have Efi to Midge on that same goal. And that was versus Kansas City. And then I also have the last dime Trinity Rodman laid out to Ashley Hatch. It was like second to last game of the season, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think about that. I should know the team they play because I think about that assist probably once a week. Shea Butter and one. I just put Trinity Rodman because I couldn't even pick one.
Yeah, it's just so many.
One game. Like, y'all seen the footage. I don't know. Last for United, I mean, Andre spent the whole day clipping it. You could go watch it. It's a work of art, truly. Shea Butter Brick, I think overall for me, I have Estelle Johnson because she had that run of about 4 or 5 games where she was just like, y'all not. Ain't nobody scoring against me. We're not doing that. I want to give her props. I see you, sis. You balled this year. Shea Butter Lockdown. I said in the beginning, I'll go wherever Sarah Gordon goes. Sarah Gordon, I know it wasn't an official game, but against Paris Saint-Germain, against Diani and Katoto.
Wait. Shea Butter Lockdown is like a team collective thing, but go ahead.
Oh, it's a collective? Okay.
Just go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to go with it. Sarah Gordon might as well have been her own team that day. And if Diani and Katoto never see her again, I think they'll be happy. Because they were like, what? Y'all just be hiding this in America? Okay. Shea Butter Furniture Moving, Gotham versus KC, because that's pretty much as black as it gets. Shea Butter Mic Check. What game was that? The Crystals unpopped that shot. It had no business.
Lord.
It had, it was toward the beginning of the year. Had no business.
Was it against y'all? Or was it
no,
against,
it wasn't against us.
Washington?
Maybe.
Or Orlando?
It had no business. It might have been Orlando. It had no business. She tried it. Like, she really tried it.
Yeah.
Heat Check. Technically, it's not Shea, unShea in the normal way. But that Challenge Cup game, I still want to know what Sarah Gordon said to Shea Groom. okay, I'm sorry. That was a moment that has stuck with me the entire season. Get Your Fits Right, I think Gotham FC, first and foremost, and Oil Rain as well. And then Player of the Year, we actually did this pretty democratically. We have Efi on the Mona. And Comeback Player of the Year, Sibler.
We could have waited. That would have, those were collective awards.
I'm sorry. Listen,
hey,
I got on the roll.
Man, what the heck? What the hell?
I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah. So, Jesus Christ. All right. It's my turn. All right. So, Shea Butter Bomb, Trinity Rodman, crossing over Alyssa Nair. Sorry. Shea Butter Boom, honestly, is a tie between Darian Jenkins, that shit she shot. That's Casey against, who was that against?
Oh, God.
A son. Was that Houston?
Maybe.
And then Ebony Salmon's boom.
Oh.
Out of nowhere. She's had a couple of those.
Yeah.
Oh, well, actually, Shea Butter Bomb also just really disrespectful. Shayna Matthews.
Oh, when she walked that joint in?
When she walked the joint in.
Oh, so
was that Houston? No, or was that Chicago? Can't remember. And then Shea Butter had trick. Yeah. Well, Gotham FC did the y'all.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was pretty. That was sexy. Shea Butter Don is a tie too between Trinity Rodman. What is that when she effectively got, when Tierna Davidson got CONCACAF'd?
Yeah.
That was sexy, but that wasn't officially a dime, but that was sexy.
Yeah.
What she was trying to do, that was pretty. The other one was Mal Pugh. There's a number of attempts of dimes that it was just beautifully hitting balls on foreheads. A Shea Butter adjacent though would be Sofia Huerta hitting just official off. But Shea Butter and one, Trinity Rodman, all the things every week. There's so many. She's a highlight reel. Shea Butter Brick. My actual Shea Butter Brick was Sarah Gordon, sunning all of PESG all game, knocking them down, just pocketing them to the point that they had to go away from her to try to score.
Yeah, they did.
Shea Butter Lockdown, or many performances by Gotham FC. But also, you can, I could say Casey Krueger and Sarah Gordon shutting down people too, but Gotham City. Shea Butter Furniture Moving, there's a multiple. But things that brought me joy, and yeah, Casey versus Gotham, or Gotham versus Portland. Yeah, that became fun. Yeah, Shea Butter Mike Check, same thing. Crystal Dunn, whatever game that was. Ridiculous, almost all. Heat Check, actually, Estelle versus Trinity.
Yeah, that's A1. A good one.
That was A1 when she sent her and let her know that, yeah, this ain't. I ain't one. Get your fits right. First off, Gotham, then OL. And like you said, if he is a player of the year, Sid is comeback player of the year.
Word, word, word. Yeah.
So
pretty succinct. Also, I know we're not a shout out, Jess, but I would just like to shout out us. Because here's the five players we told y'all to watch this year: Mallory Pugh, Trinity Rodman, Sydney LaRue, Tiara King, Simone Charlie. What? You're welcome. Listen to us. Well, well, well. We were right. Okay. Yes. I just wanted to put that out there.
Also, yeah, when Tiara King and Simone Charlie, their playing time kind of diminished a little bit.
Yeah. That's...
But when they was out there, they was balling. So,
still got player of the week. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
They out here.
But listen to us. We know what we're talking about sometimes. All right. You want to get this kick this party off here?
What? No. We need to take a break.
Okay. We'll do it after. That's fine.
We gotta keep the lights on.
We do gotta keep the lights on. All right.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be back. Sounded spooky, I apologize. So we're gonna kick off lightweight version our SBSC.
Pimp my squad. Pimp your squad. We pimping a squad.
For the
similar to the wait. Similar to the TV show.
Okay, I was like, you gotta explain it.
Where Exhibit was pimping people's rod, my bad. When they were fixing the hoopties,
yes.
The broke down cars of people across the United States, wherever the heck they were, and pimping their joints.
Exhibit was a West Coast rapper from the 90s and 2000s. All right.
Well, he still is a rapper. He still be spitting flows.
He does, but like, I feel like you have to be of a certain age to know who, like, actively have had Exhibit in your life. We on the other side, fam.
You are on the other side.
Oh my God.
I am still 35. No. Anyway.
Okay.
Until next week. Exactly. Anyway.
Please hold.
So we're gonna pimp the squad. So we're gonna help to make up your squad. Not really.
Yes.
We're gonna try to say, who can you anticipate?
Yes. And please keep in mind, we have no idea what's happening in this league.
We have no idea.
It changes literally every second. We just got like three pieces of news today.
Yes.
And there's more to come. Because the trade window's open this week. So the squad we chose was a non-playoff squad. First squad out was the Houston Dash. So we went in that order. Their current roster construction will post for you, but Shane Campbell, Lisa Chapman, Rachel Daly, Megan Rosa, Gabby Seiler, Shea Groom, Michelle Prince, Haley Hansen, Kristen, Justine Megan Oyster, Veronica Lasco, Sophie Schmidt, Brianna Vasali, I don't know if Hannah Diaz is here yet, Emily Ogle, Christy Mewis, Lindsay Harris, Denisha Blackwood, Jasmine Spencer, Jania Fields, Katie Naughton, Anika Schmidt, Andrea Hookstarter, I think I said that right, Makame Gamora Stevens, Michaela Bam, Michelle Elozi, Amber Marshall, and Amanda Dennis. Okay. We said a lot. Again, you can look up Houston's roster at is this currently constructed. We can't tell you about tomorrow. But based on what they have today, the players that I think Houston will protect are Jane Campbell.
Yes, that makes sense, Jane. Mm-hmm.
And mind you, Jane Campbell is an allocated player.
Yes.
So that's Nichelle, your allocation. Nichelle Prince.
Yes.
Who's also allocated, but Canadian allocation makes no sense to me.
Yes.
Rachel Daly.
Yes, that makes sense.
Jasmine Spencer.
Yes.
Katie Naughton.
Mm-hmm.
Shagram.
Yep.
Megan Oyster.
Makes sense.
I think they protect Abam because she's a local player from Houston. And then Latsko.
Yes.
So that leaves a lot of their defenders unprotected. But keep in mind, you can only take one player from each line. And there's only two teams taking player. So they can't take all of them. Right. I think you leave Chapman unprotected, but I don't think another team's going to take Chapman at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or Schmidt. I guess the big glaring thing we got to talk about is why didn't we protect Christy Mewis?
Yeah. Is Christy Mewis paying going to remain in the NWSL?
I strongly suspect she will be in England.
Oh.
Could be January. Could be next season. I don't know.
Could be sportsmanship.
Yeah. I mean, she has a decent reason to be in England. I would say more specifically London. I don't think they're particularly quiet about their relationship. Their sportswomanship situationship, whatever we're calling it. They're very loud on me, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
But
yeah, I'm like, there's like it was some body language stuff that I'm like,
yeah, okay,
it's the time,
she spent quite a bit of time in England the past couple of months, and I think for her game it probably makes sense for her to move to the WSL. I think her game fits that league. I'm not 100% sure which team she lands on. It depends on if she wants to be in London or not.
Okay, so let's say if she doesn't though, who gets her? San Diego? Or Angel City?
So I'm of two minds.
Or trade somebody else, somewhere else.
Trade to maybe go somewhere else. Like I could see her in a Portland. Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
I can vaguely see her in San Diego only because that's the type of player Casey Stoney would love.
Bajillos.
Especially that, like Christy Mewis, especially like ain't no love lost there. I can see her in Portland though. I think she actually fits into
what about currently. Orlando?
They need a midfielder, but so I will say this, climate wise, is not much of a difference,
right?
I think she instantly makes that team better.
Yes,
they desperately need a midfielder.
Yes,
Well, she did not play at UCLA. Her sister did.
Yes.
So I think she has some familiarity with Orlando's new coach. I think she's played enough with Alex. Sid and Christy played together for a very long time in Kansas City.
Yes.
And they're good friends. So I think there's incentive to get her there.
She got to Kansas City.
There's already a Mewis in Kansas City.
That don't mean you can't have two.
It's very true. That would be diabolical, but you're right. That is a possibility. I would say Portland or Orlando if she stays stateside.
Yeah, I can see that.
Possibly San Diego. I'm more inclined to believe she's going to give.
I can see Kansas City too.
Yeah, but I can see her giving an international shot, giving it a try in the WSL in particular. And Houston seems to have a pipeline with West Ham. So we'll see. But that's what I think in terms of who Houston should get in terms of quote unquote to help pimp their squad, particularly if they're going to lose Christy Mewis. I think it really depends on if they're going to decide whether they're a transition team truly,
right,
or if they're actually going to be a possession team.
They got to pick one.
Yeah. Cause they can't live in the in-between. It doesn't work for them.
It's not working. It's blowing up on them. They're either winning games and then losing or losing games outright.
It's too inconsistent because they don't stick to an identity.
Right. This is why they weren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they're probably built right now more to be a transition team, so I would lean into that. Yeah, they need to. And I think then that means you have to get a certain type of midfielder. And those players are available. I think they'd have to make some trades. But that's doable. So I don't know who that sort of magic piece is or those magic pieces are. But I think a lot of it depends on Houston figuring out, okay, we're going to be a transition team. So then let's lean into that and get the players that we need. But with the players they're protecting, I think that that still makes them a transition team. And so that they should build around that. You have anything to add? I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was like, you just to say in all the, Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. They have to figure out what they're doing. Is James Clarkson staying on as coach? Will he survive the vetting process that they're supposedly doing for all these coaches and everybody in between in the league? Then, what are they doing? Then who wants to play in Houston? Because that's the issue. It's hot as hell.
Yes, it is.
It's humid all the time. The stadium is open. Do you want to play in the existing environment? And then, yeah, what is y'all identity? Because, yeah, we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If I were Houston, I would peek over the border that's not too far away. And maybe
that part too. That
would go be snag some Liga and Mackie from the
I would do that too.
Players, but that's me.
Yeah, I would. Because don't they already got Maria Sanchez?
I think so. But like the way they play football, it would be beneficial to grab some of those players. Yeah,
they should.
But
San Diego, but we're not there yet. They need to actually diversify in San Diego, but we're not gonna go there yet. Anyway, so
it is that time. Bringing y'all the hits and riffs of the week.
Yes.
Do you want to go first? Because you got some choices. All right, go ahead.
All right, so because the upcoming Versus is coming this week. Like December 2nd, so Thursday. Yeah. We got 3-6 Mafia going against Bone Thugs and Harmony. If you're not old enough to understand what that means, then you need to get, pay attention to that versus. Stop. You're not going to interrupt me. Don't do that. No. Anyway, so back to what I was saying. So it depends on what you like. It depends on where you grew up. As I live in the South, I grew up and dealt with the greatness that is 3-6 Mafia. Even from like the first, my turn up actually is a blend. The very first 3-6 Mafia song that I still vividly remember was Tear the Club Up. We was tearing the gym up. We was in middle school. But the other one would be Who Run It. We did a whole dance routine with that. He's running around the field. Gangsta Boo's verse, still a blessing. As she part of the Hypnotized, whatever they call themselves. There's some other songs. I mean, there's so many 3-6 Mafia songs that
I haven't heard the name Gangsta Boo in so long. Sorry.
Oh, there'll be more in the future. But the including what's one of my favorite joints? Some of the songs, it depends, because 3-6 Mafia makes all kinds of music. They make the Tear the Club Up music. They make the
Oscar winners. 3-6 Mafia.
That's true.
My Oscar favorite winners. Thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Oscar winner 3-6 Mafia. But yes, they make all kind of music, including some things that might have brought some of y'all into the world. Because songs, they had plenty of Shake 'em, Twerk 'em songs out here that did what I needed to do.
Did the children know what scissor is?
Yeah, slipping, sipping on scissor. They got all kind of, they got the slow ride songs, like Make Night Tip, all the way to Assets and Tatas. That's not the name of the song.
But the beat is so fire. Oh my God.
And then Shake That Jelly. Like, the beats are so fire.
Yeah,
they even
are.
They did a remix to 24s by T.I. That is a fire remix. Like, it's unlimited. Bone Thugs and Harmony, that's the other one, because I got two. My other turn up from back in the day, my favorite Bone Thugs and Harmony song is still the one they had with Tupac called Thug Love. The instrumental of that, I was gonna put that on here, but it can trigger y'all because it's got gunshots in the background. The freaking instrumental is so fire. That's one of my favorite Bone Thugs and Harmony songs. But yeah, those are my yesterday turn ups. And then my Quiet Storm, is that what we doing from back in the day? Is You're my everything. Uh-uh. And everything is you.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Ooh, the microphone quit on you on that one.
By the Stylistics, because that came on before. That was on the radio.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
All right, I'm done.
All right. Wow. 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs. Yeah, that is going to be a wild versus. I'm going to have to tune in for that one. All right. So my yesterday turn up in honor of Britney being free. Toxic, because that joint goes. I don't care what anybody says. Toxic goes hard. I respect it. I heard HBCU bands play that.
Yeah, it's fire.
Fire. And then, whoo, like yesterday, Quiet Storm. Listen, young folks, if y'all haven't gotten into Toni Braxton, especially like first 4 albums or so, do yourself a favor. Get into Toni Braxton. That's all I'm gonna say. Some of y'all might be here because of Toni Braxton.
Probably.
So the one I picked, I could have picked many, many songs. I went with Spanish Guitar. I think it's Off the Heat.
Yes,
it's a very good song. Underrated video, by the way. But yes.
My Spanish guitar.
You
can. Hey, Toni.
Okay. Oh, Toni's okay. A blessing. You're having a different conversation. So.
I didn't say don't do that. I'm just saying Toni is a blessing. Listen, to the sound.
Toni Braxton is goated and underrated.
Yes.
She carried R&B for a while there.
Yeah, she did. 7 whole days.
Woo!
Anyway, my bad. But yes, listen to Spanish Guitar. Yes.
Yes, for sure. Okay, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, so today's turn up is Walkthrough by Miles Yachts. You know, walk. Y'all seen the, actually, so during the Christmas, my bad, not the Christmas, Thanksgiving situation. Yeah, Chrisette was, what's her name? What's her name? Chrisette? Michelle, what's her name?
Chrisette?
No, not Chrisette. Michelle. What's up? The is Christy the funny? She comedian. She dresses like an old church lady. She from
Atlanta.
Yeah. So she did like this.
Miss Shirley.
Yeah, Charlene.
Oh, with the green
to this beat. Yo, the green. She did it, and she did the whole dance.
That was me on Thursday.
Man. That was me. That the walkthrough fire. And then for the Quiet Storm, Slow Down. By Van Jess. Just go listen to it. Just slow down.
Okay, I gotta put that one. Just get it. I haven't heard that one before.
Get it.
I would just like to make sure you understand though, the greens Miss Shirley had were collards.
They were freaking collards. They probably were turnips. Don't do that.
They were absolutely collards. Get out of here.
Hell, you know Miss Shirley ain't good collards. Got some turnips.
Man, I tore up some collard greens on Thursday. But all right. So my today turn up. Fairly new, not super new, but gotta represent for VA. Is Lemon by Nerd. Pharrell is part of Nerd, but Pharrell and Rihanna.
Rihanna's verse now, sets like, it off though.
Honorary Barbadian, like, well, I don't know what she is, but she was there today. Barbados is free, by the way. Now give them their reparations, but they're free of the queen. We love that for them. Oh, perfect. And then my today. Quiet Storm. It's Shea Butter, baby. One, I can't believe we haven't done this song since our show is called Shea Butter FC. I know only one of us likes this song, and that's fine.
The song is...
But also, free Ari Lennox, man. She in jail in the Netherlands because she got racially profiled. Irony being, the Netherlands was just voted the least racist country by some publication. So, have at that. Do with that what you will, but yeah, free my girl Ari. She was profiled. She said she don't want to go outside no more. And that's messed up. I really like Ari Lennox. I think she's gorgeous. I think she's talented. She's young, obviously, but yeah. She has many songs. It's not just this one. Please go listen to more of her stuff. But yeah, I just wanted to shout out Ari and free Ari. Then. So yeah, that's what I got. And that's what we got for hits and riffs. Let's get into these rants and raves.
Rants and raves. Understand, this rant is going to be short. So yeah. Go.
Pia Sundhagen.
Yes.
That is not how you treat Formiga.
There we go.
That's absolutely unacceptable.
Unfucking acceptable.
She is women's soccer. Exactly. But y'all damn near the same age, though she don't look it. Her mama finally came to her game. Her mama is terrified of planes. She got on a plane.
Right.
To go see her baby. Right. Playing her final game.
Well.
Okay. If you don't want to start her, I don't agree with it, but okay.
Right.
But to bring her in with like 10 minutes left.
10.
Disrespect. In a friendly.
Unacceptable.
And then you're going to hit people in the post game with, well, we're building a young squad. She doesn't fit into our plans. That game didn't have shit to do with the future of the Brazil national team. And everyone knows young players was waiting for Formiga to get on the pitch because that's their fucking hero.
Right.
The whole Indian national team, like they were hype to just take pictures with Formiga.
Because it's Formiga. It's for motherfucking
Formiga. Formiga. 7 World Cups deep, man. She's only not played in 1 World Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But literally, when we talk about GOATs, when we talk about legends, you start with Formiga.
Right.
You literally, in this game, in this sport, you start with Formiga. And she's still good, by the way. She started for Paris Saint-Germain in 2020 in a Champions League semifinal.
Right.
That and was damn good, by the way.
Damn good.
So it's not like she can't play anymore and she can't teach them kids something.
Right.
There would be no young kids coming through Brazil if Formiga didn't play.
When she got in the game, she was up there assisting and shit.
She damn near scored a worldie at the very end.
Right.
But like, and I get that it's about the game and you've got to be competitive. I get all of that. But there's a place and a time, and this is Formiga. There's only one.
Right.
Marta out here on her knees giving this woman flowers. And that's Marta. Right. That's another one. You better not.
You better not, motherfucking not.
Better not. And it's not lost on me that this is a Black Brazilian woman, right?
Right.
And this is a sport that is not welcoming to Black women of any background. Mm-hmm. And I know for me personally to have been able to watch Formiga for the past 20 something years.
Mm-hmm.
To see any reflection of yourself means the world. There's a reason those players from India were hyped. Because Formiga looked more like them than my team does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's currently constructed. It's changing,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Yes.
Right? She looks more like the players who want to play this game than a whole lot of people's national teams do. Because it ain't just us.
Mm-hmm.
You pay your respect. You pay your respect. I don't care if you're the coach. That's a level of respect she commands.
Yes.
And there's no takebacks now. Is done. She didn't get the time, the moment she deserved. She did afterwards. And that was beautiful to see. But yeah, that's unacceptable. And everybody was pissed and rightfully so. So you know what you did.
I'm done. I was gonna say, well, yeah, it made me go, fuck Pia. I can't believe you did that shit. I was so mad. I was late to watching the game and I'm thinking I'm about to miss
it. You did not. I thought I missed it too. And I was like, nope.
And I was like, she ain't out there. And then when people were like pissed off online, I was like, she's not really about to do this. Her mom flew out here. Family's out here. She's not going to play her. You're playing India, who has not played anybody. Like, they just happy to be there. You out here. What was even worse is they were up 6-5-1.
Yeah. I mean, it was competitive in the first half. And so I get it. But yeah,
but second half. It fell off the rails. There was no business for her not to be out there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I have to say this, white nonsense, because you're not respecting Black women. Like, we got to stop this shit. You give her flowers, give her respect, you know, get you an FTC Formiga Eternal shirt, by the way.
Yes.
I got y'all.
That's fire.
My rant is secondary. Again, another week of California driving. It's like every day something.
You sound so stressed every week, too.
Every day. I mean, I almost got hit because it was foggy in the air, upper air, not on the ground. So you could like see in front of you. You could see far in front of you. But because it was super foggy, people were driving like 2 miles an hour. And then people thought that they could just turn across like 4 lanes of traffic because people were supposed to be magically going 5 miles an hour. Like, it was all kind of crazy. I almost got hit by a truck, by the way. He thought he was going to just turn, like,
he had the authority. It was crazy. Made me 45 minutes late to a dentist. No, it took me 45 minutes to get to a dentist appointment where I literally live like 10 minutes away from it. So act like y'all can drive. Like, I understand the rain. It don't rain in Southern California. Okay, my bad. But fog, like, this happens all the time. Please, God, please don't let it deeply fog again. But yeah, that's my rant. Rave. Do I got a rave?
I mean, there's...
I got a rave.
Okay.
Mr. CP84 Cornell Patterson.
Oh, okay.
Out here, he's back on one leg, being the Falcons wide receiver 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then running back 1, 2 with Kyle Pitts. Matt Ryan's only options on the field. You know, he came through. So they'd embarrass me this week. And then other than that, a Georgia Tech grad won the mayor's race for Atlanta.
All right.
So, what's good, bro?
I see y'all out here. I see you.
Out here.
What's your race? I'm going to keep it brief. I already ranted, so I'm going to do the opposite. It was beautiful to see Formiga get the love that she got after the match was over. People were throwing the cell phones down, like, can you take a picture with me?
And like, they knew iPhones, man. They was
right, people were throwing nice phones. But I was like, Formiga's on it. It's fine. And, like, how hyped the Indian national team, who is good, actually.
Right.
And we'll play in the qualifiers to possibly go to the World Cup. And also, fire kids. But yeah, just like all the love she got to see her mom there. It was incredibly sweet. Mm-hmm. And it seemed really bittersweet for her. And in that moment, to see what Marta did, to see her, I think, in a picture with like Cece and Christiani. That's another conversation. But... just to really see the outpouring of love. I wish the Federation had done more and it hadn't been announced and like it had been in the city proper. I wish all of women's football had been able to do more.
Yes.
Those Formiga, like she said, hit up FTC for the Formiga Eterna shirts or hoodies, they're fire. But that should have been done all across the board and not by singular Black entities. But yeah, it did my heart good. And she's only retiring from country, not club. She's still playing in Brazil. Right.
Yeah.
I know people got mad opinions about King Richard, but I just want to shout out the Williams sisters for producing a movie and telling the story they wanted to tell, because that is their right as Black women. And apparently it's a pretty good movie. I haven't been able to watch it yet. But their story is one of the greatest stories in all sports, truly.
Yep.
And however you feel about Richard Williams, he absolutely plays an integral role in that and was able to protect them from a very, very white world and a very, very white sport. And I think we should honor the entirety of that story, even the messy parts. But I think it's beautiful, and I'm proud of them and all that they've been through, and they've stood their ground, and they are exactly who they wanted to be the whole time. Good at tennis and well-rounded human beings. So, yeah, that's my shout out. I guess for Jason C, shout out to Alexia Patelis for winning the battle that everybody knew she would win. So best player in the world right now.
Yep.
That's all I got. So
it's time to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Short episode.
Kept it short.
Shout out. Can I kick it? What's good, Yogi? What's good for the culture? Culture for us and all bajillion people that are for a part of for culture.
I'm laughing because Yogi was so reckless over break. Sorry.
Just like a Rich United. Movie,
that's my guy.
Kaya McCullough, future lawyer, getting every
future lawyer who's out here saving a life.
Saving lives too.
Really just making all of us look like chumps out here.
$0.02 having fire accessories I spent.
Yeah, I hope y'all hit up that Black Friday.
My mug arrived.
Oh, you got your mug.
A beanie. Right. I got my mom an HBCU soccer situation, so she's in the AUC Center. So she can rock that.
I got the orange HBCU soccer shirt. It's
fine. Then the yeah, but they got hoodies and stuff. They got stuff. Like,
yeah, check them out. Support both.
Support.
It's quality. It's quality stuff. It's quality.
Help keep the lights on.
Yeah, that too. You know, run us a little coin. You know, that's we like all that stuff.
In the future, we will have stuff too.
We are working on many things. We promise. I know we say that every week.
For real.
Literally in the lake.
When we come through, it's gonna go like boop boop boop. It's gonna be like.
Brrr. We know the people are asking for merch and a website some other things.
It's on the way.
It takes work,
it's
y'all.
On the way.
It takes work.
It's on the way.
Rush the process. Can't rush childbirth. Can't rush this. So.
Wow. Okay. On that note, next week we will talk about we didn't talk about the hell that just broke loose today, but all hell will continue to break loose because the train window is open and we're getting closer to the expansion draft. So that means we're going to pimp your squad. We probably going to pimp multiple squads because you said Houston was first out. There's like several other teams that didn't make playoffs.
There's three other teams that didn't, and two of us are going to feel very differently because I love this time of year, but also I have a team that currently exists, so I'm going to feel pain at some point where Sky has the team.
Yeah. We got the hype machine for Angel City FC turning the fuck on up. Y'all want to send me a kit? Y'all want to send me a hat? A fitted hat? That'd be fire. You want to send me, let me hype y'all up.
Okay.
Because you
Angels, you Angel City now has two players. And
yes.
It's Kristen Press and Sarah Gordon. That's very.
I'm living a good life. Oh my
That's
God.
Very hard to say no to.
Two of my
It's very hard to say no to for me. That's very hard.
Two of my favorite players.
Two of my favorites.
They're going to be playing in front of me. I'm so excited.
I'm trying very hard to be angry, and they keep adding players.
Can't get angry. So just embrace it. Get on the two
adding
train.
Players I really, really love. So,
and no, I'm not getting paid by Angel City FC. This is Sky when I'm in full ridiculous. You think it's bad now, just fucking wait.
No, it's bad now. I hear it every day.
It's escalating. It's going to escalate.
I'm sorry, y'all.
I know
what I hear
every
day.
It's gonna get worse.
And also shout out to
Kansas City.
Shout out to Kansas City. They've got Sam Lewis now.
Yes.
And shout out to Kiki Pickett. She's going to North Carolina to create the picket fence defense.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody dropped that one in the journal chat today. I forgot who, but shout out. And shout out to. I hope she's happy with the move. Shout out to the homie Tegan McGrady. Just won a championship. She's going to San Diego. So
yes, and there will be more news on the way.
I imagine tomorrow, by the time y'all hear this episode, some more shit will have happened. So
yes,
stay alert, kids. Don't log off Twitter. That's a bad deal.
Well, don't log on if you got stuff to do.
That's true, because you're going to get sucked in. But
just sit down. Can also just sit down and behave?
No, that's not how that works. You know that.
Just sit down. Don't touch nothing. Just sit down. Pick a day. Drop day be Wednesday and then shut up until next Wednesday. But that's not going to happen. It's going to be all week. So,
yeah. All right. So, let's get out of here.
So, we out. So, who are we doing? We're staying hydrated.
Of course. We're staying melanated.
And we're making sure our shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And we're making sure that the Black women in our lives, in your lives, are always celebrated.
And I just inverted what was said.
That should be
the other way around.
That's all right.
You know what I'm saying? Love Black people. Respect Black people.
Go Black people.
Go Black people.
Go Black people.
Go Black.
We're tired, y'all.
Go Black people. Stay Black.
This is what happens when you have a 1 o'clock game. All
right. Yeah. All right. Peace and blessings.
Peace out. Peace.